Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. There's an exciting event happening this coming Saturday, February 21st. The grand opening of the Hi-Hi Light Studio, Barn Studio and Showroom in the Lewis and Clark area is happening from 3 to 7 p.m. And today we're going to be talking about what Hi-Hi Lights is all about. And in the studio, I have Lam Quang. Good morning, Lam.
Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Excellent. I'm glad to see you here. And I also have his lovely wife, Kestrel Gates. Hi, Kestrel.
Hi, Donna. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And we have Mylin and Sun in the room as well. And these are the two marvelous children who get to be part of your world making handmade paper lights. So before we talk about what Hi-Hi is and about the grand opening on Saturday, for those listening, you know, audience members who aren't familiar with you, let's learn a little bit about each one of you. So Lam, please tell us a bit about yourself.
I was born in Vietnam in 1960 and went through all the war and all that stuff and then toward the end of the war in 1975, we were lucky enough to get sponsored by an American who my mom met there in Vietnam and sponsored and got us out. And we ended up in Michigan. And when I came to Michigan, none of us had any knowledge of English, other than a few words. And we all had a summer to get acclimated and went straight to high school and spent 4 years there in high school and a year of college at a community college, learned enough to continue on and went to school at the University of Houston. And when school was fairly expensive there, once you get residency, and did studying computers because computer was fairly easy for me to learn.
Right, and you said math because English, you were still working on your English, so the math was an easier. Yes, math is the same everywhere.
Correct. Yeah, but still learning reading about math was very, very difficult. It was a never ending process of learning, and it took me say at least 20 years to feel comfortable enough to have a decent conversation. And then once established that and worked for a while in Houston, realizing it was not my calling. I dreaded going to work. I hated it. And eventually quit my job and cast my lot to the wind and moved out to Oregon.
Oregon? How did you even know about Oregon at that point?
I didn't. I just wanted to go west, and I didn't want to end up in California. And it just happened, a friend of a friend going out to at University of Oregon to go to school, and I went with them, and he needed somebody to drive with him. And I came out and stayed in Eugene for a little bit, and then moved to Portland because I can actually find work in Portland. That is also at the time I was playing Ultimate Frisbee, and the Ultimate Frisbee kind of a culture that you can connect with a lot of different people all over the country playing Ultimate Frisbee. So that was my way in. And then I saw some paper made along the way, and it never occurred to me how paper was made. You know, we see it every day, but that kind of spiked my interest, and I started working, and I was working in a restaurant, and also started experimenting with paper making in the basement, starting out in the basement, and then share some studio with some friends, and when they moved out, I just took over and just continue. I love the process so much that it continue and continue. And eventually going to Goodwill, finding old frames and recovering those, and doing and finding the love of creativity. Finally found something that I really, really loved doing, and just spending hours and hours and hours in studios and just creating, come up with different techniques of papermaking, and then eventually took a papermaking workshop at Oregon School of Arts and Craft in Portland, and continue there.
So once you were able to make your own paper, then you started buying objects that you could recover, and that you started buying lampshades.
Correct. Yeah, once I started making paper, that kind of the whole world kind of opened up, because the possibilities, it seems endless. And it still is kind of endless, because there's so many more different ideas I have not got a chance to develop yet.
And then you started making your own light sculptures, out of your homemade paper, and then you opened a gallery on Alberta, right?
Yes. Back in 1998, Alberta just starting to get a bit of resurgent. Alberta had been abandoned, kind of all the businesses moved out for a long time. And this couple had opened up a gallery on Alberta and had some space to rent, and I rented it from them. I was able to get a storefront and a studio to work in for $300 a month. So that was it was about the same amount I was paying for the studio, so I took that chance. And I had the store open while also working at the restaurant. And then about 6 months into it, I had to quit the restaurant business and had a bit of enough savings to continue working. And the reception of my work was fairly pretty good. And I got started pretty much right away, and got enough work to sustain myself.
And at that time, so that's the first place that you were really selling these beautiful light sculptures that you were making of your handmade paper.
Yes, that was really the only place I've had. Eventually, we sold into different galleries and up in Seattle's and in Berkeley and other places, but that's the main place that we sell out of.
Well, what you do is really rare. It's very exceptional. We're going to learn a little bit more about how you do that in a few minutes. But your story is so interesting. I mean, you just took some risks. You were brave. You were obviously not in your comfort zone, and you just kept moving out of your comfort zone and doing what felt like it was your calling, what was right for you, and what excited you and inspired you. And you met Kestrel, your beautiful wife, in Portland. And I want to hear a little bit about Kestrel.
Well, I'm originally from Southern Oregon. I was born in Gold Beach and was raised in Ashland. And after going to school in Arizona and being a massage therapist in Philadelphia, I moved to Portland and was really in an open time in my life, didn't know what was next. And I met Lum, and we started dating. And I was really hesitant to start collaborating with him. I didn't want to mix love and business. And finally, he went away for the weekend, left me in the studio, and left some lights for me to paint. And I thought, well, I'll just play around on it. And I did, and I loved it. And when he came back, I agreed to start painting the lights. And that was how I got involved with Hi-Hi.
It's a family business. Do your children get involved now?
Sometimes they help make big sheets of paper. Son will help lift Mullen Deco. Okay. And they're just around the studio
just
a lot.
Soaking up the era of creativity, which is so important. So then you had your gallery. Now, was it named Hi-Hi at the time?
Yes. Right away, it's named Hi-Hi.
Okay, and let's explain that name. So the way it's spelled is you have a capital H, a small I, another small I, and then a capital H. So if you look at it and you think it's a hi-hi, anyway, tell us it is pronounced hi-hi, and how did you come up with the name Hi-Hi?
a friend of mine was helping us paint this door, and he loved to write forward and backward. And he just happened to paint on the window, high, forward and backward, to write continuous like that. And the way the paint drifted off, and so we kind of went with that as a font for the sign, for the first sign as well. And high stuck. And yeah,
see, serendipity. I tell you, we think we know what's going to happen in life, and we just don't. Little things, the accidents, and suddenly you have Velcro, or somebody observing something in nature. And I mean, you know, so high, that's funny, you like to write. So it's a high forward and then a high backwards. So it's high. So that's great. I love that story. So then you're in Portland. You and Kestrel are now together. She's helping. You're collaborating on these beautiful light sculptures. You're selling them to businesses. You're doing custom light sculptures, and you're doing well. And then you decide to move to Astoria, Oregon?
Yes. We did very, very well right before the economy crashed. There was so many restaurants and so many houses that are remodeled, so people was buying a lot of lamps from us. And then things slowed down, so we had to divest and going to different galleries to have them carry more of our work, and did a bit of traveling. And starting to realize that we had a son who was at the time, he was but 3 by then. We started looking, wanted to be out of Portland, out in the smaller community. And we looked all over Oregon, didn't really find any place that really resonated with us. And about 2.5 years ago, we got invited to do a show at Riversea. And we came out here and just immediately fell in love and started looking for
Felt like
a house
to
buy.
Yeah, this was your place. And so you bought a house out in Lewis and Clark, which obviously has a barn, where you can have a barn studio, which is yes. Brings us to the grand opening this Saturday. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today in the studio, I have Lum Kwong. He and his wife, Kestrel Gates, own Hi-Hi. Which is it says Hi-Hi custom handmade paper lights, and they are stunning. You're going to see many that were in Portland at this grand opening this Saturday. They're having a grand opening from 3 to 7, and we're going to give some directions, and we can also direct everyone to the website as well. I'm excited about going to this. It just sounds really fun, from 3 to 7 on Saturday, and there's going to be wine and cheese and just an opportunity to look at the function of light, the craft of paper, and the art of sculpture. And also Riversea Gallery has some highlights. You are right now custom designing some lights for Blue Scorcher and for Clemente's, which will have hopefully a grand opening pretty soon in their new location.
Yes, Clemente had just moved, and they wanted us to do some lights in their place. And we're in the process of, we have design in mind and about to work on it once the studio is up and open.
That's great. Tell me about making paper, because your light sculptures are made of your own homemade paper. What do you make the paper with, and how do you make paper?
The paper is made out of cotton and abaca. Abaca is a banana bark from the Philippines. Banana bark is often used in rope. A lot of the non-nylon rope is from abaca. And the more premium fiber is used for paper. And by itself is really strong. And I like to mix it, the two, because of the strength and absorbency. And absorb paint, the cotton absorbs the paint really well. So that's the mixture. So I make the paper. And in the In the meantime, the paper has to dry, and I create the armature. We create everything. So create the armature, and once the armature is complete, then the paper, to continue making the paper, and once enough paper is made, they get pressed to strengthen it, and then the paper is applied onto the armature when it's too wet.
So the armature is the actual sculpture. So right. You create a design, which could be a box or a saucer or any number of designs. Are they all pieces that are hanging pieces, or do you have some that are also floor pieces?
All different forms. We do sconces, table lights, standing lights, chandeliers.
Oh, wow.
Screens,
okay.
Larger installations.
Really?
And pendants. So.
Larger installations and?
Pendants, hanging pendants. Pieces.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right.
So we've hired to make crocodiles. We made crocodiles. We made a human form. We made origami shape. We did that for Madame Butterfly in New York. They revamped their props, and they hire Michael Curry Studio outside of Portland to redo the stage. The props, and he hired us to do some of the lights.
Yeah, because what you do is so exciting. There are very few people, I think, in this field, in the United States, who do this kind of art form. I mean, it sounds like it's incredibly time consuming because you make the paper first, which takes what, several days, or how does that? Because you have to mix it, and then you have to decide on the thickness of it. Are you going to paint it? Are you going to let it be the net? When you mix together the banana bark, and is that hard to come by the way, or is it?
No, we get it to a paper maker out of New York.
Okay, so you get the banana bark and the cotton. You mix this together in kind of a slurry, I think, right, or something. You have, and then you let it dry. Is that right?
Let it drip dry enough to when it's still damp, and then apply it onto
the sculpture
created. Sculpture, the armature. Before the paper is dried the first time, the fiber will stick together. So I apply it with brushes, so there is no glue at all involved in the process.
Really? What a green thing. I mean, that's great. The paper, you're so if people say, well, gosh, how can you have paper is flammable and then you have a light bulb that could generate some heat? We talked a little bit about that. Why don't you reassure people and let them know how that works?
Yeah, that's a big concern for a lot of people. That's the first question they would ask oftentimes when they come into the gallery. At the heat of the bulb concentrate around the bulb and it goes straight up. So we have to design around it. Most of our lights are kind of ambiance lights, and also we can design around to where you can create enough lighting and ventilate the heat from the bulb. All you really need is about 3 to 4 inches enough from the bulb so you can get 40 to 60 watts of light mm-hmm. coming out. Mm-hmm. And also the LED lights are so good now that is not a concern anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen some of your work and it's just stunning. And in this world where we are, everything is noisier than ever, and everything, whether, you know, brightly lit, you know, it is so nice. I think it's a calming thing to have not only a beautiful piece of artwork, something that's functional, because you're doing art, you and Kestrel design, you come up with these designs of lamps, people ask you whether it's for their business or their home, and then you create some of your own, and then you decide on the paper, and you said the paper can be painted, so even though a lot of people would say, oh, it's just mostly this kind of mellow, kind of taupey, kind of butter color, it can also be painted bright colors, paper.
All different colors. I mix acrylic airbrush paints, and I use an airbrush, but I also hand paint them with brushes as well. And I love indigo dye and walnut ink. And I'm hoping to move more towards the natural dyes.
Oh, that would be great. Natural dyes with your husband's homemade paper.
Yeah. And people often send me, for custom work, they often send me color samples of their rugs or their tiles or their paint samples from the walls. And then I actually will mix up my own samples to send back to them.
Uh-huh.
So it can be kind of a color dialogue.
Uh-huh. How do you get ideas? I mean, some people will come to you and say, you know, we want, this is for our entryway or this is for our dining room and we want something that provides a lovely soft glow, a nice light. But how do you get ideas together? Do you just sit and sketch things? Do you look at things together? How are you inspired to create particular designs for these sculptures? They are actually sculptures, which are also, you know, lighting pieces.
We do a lot of sketches for people, and idea often come from the place and the people themselves. Mm. I am such a visual. I get so much visual stimulation and inspiration from the surrounding area. Sometimes we, by looking at the surrounding, either from a painting, from a painting that they did themselves, or from a painting that is on the wall, or the surrounding area, or what they love from just by looking from our site, or just by any other, from a flower to any other artwork to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun to come up with doing custom pieces like that, because it's creating a whole different avenue sometimes I don't even think about before that. So it's a really fun process when it come up and when it comes out right.
Well, the fact that now, you know, that your work is has been in New York on the stage, and that, you know, I can see that from Astoria, Oregon, not only the North Coast and, you know, Oregon as a state can be proud of and say, wow, we have this really unique artist who's doing this work. But now, you know, nationally, I think people are aware of you because now you did the lighting in New York. I know you are available by appointment only. That's why this opening, which is Saturday, the Barn Studio opening and the tour is happening from 3 to 7 on Saturday. If people want information, they can go to your website, which is HIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHIHI having this grand opening, you are going to be, in the future, hosting guest artists and showing new work on a regular basis?
Yeah, so we're going to have a monthly open studio the second Sunday of the month from 11 to 1 throughout the year. And people, we are inviting people to come out and see the process of making the paper and get a tour of the studio and just really connect with how we make the lights. And then once a season, we're going to do an art opening hosting a couple guest artists each time and have more of an evening party. And we also have classes and workshops on the schedule for the year. And we're really excited to be starting to share the process of how Lam makes a paper and our creative process of making lights.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great thing because now you're a resource for people in the community to be able to come out and see an artist at work. And I mean, it's an unusual thing. And the fact that you're going to be bringing in classes and workshops, I mean, so this is just the beginning of who knows what can happen. Because as we've seen from your history, you all just stepped into the mystery, didn't know what was going to happen, and suddenly here you are, and now you're in Astoria, Oregon, and you are raising your children here, and this is your home.
Yes, we really, really love Astoria. Mm-hmm. This is a great community, and we're so happy to be able to contribute whatever we can to this community.
And you do, well, I think, again, beauty is so important. And a shout out to Royal Nebaker, a wonderful artist who graced this area with his presence for many years and taught at the college and who transitioned a while ago. But I had him on my radio show and he said, you know, art serves so many functions. We can't, you can't even, it's so vital to you know, beauty and art are vital to our spirits and to the human experience, to living with that. It lifts us, it raises us. And especially, as I say, when I think that we live in a world which is, the news is, you know, we're always being bombarded by information and news and light and noise, and to have a softness and a peacefulness come from maybe a lighting sculpture that you all have, that is handmade. That's a lovely thing that affects us in more ways than I think maybe we realize. We just have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything that you all would like the listening audience to know that we didn't talk about?
I think that something that we offer with our work and the barn is connecting people to the process of something being made. Mostly people go to the store and buy things and they don't actually connect with how it's made. And so we feel really passionate about sharing that story and feel that the barn really is an opportunity to do that.
To share that. And I agree with you. I think people like to see people at work, whether they're making horseshoes or they're doing, and I think we're moving in that direction where experiential things. And for our children, too. I mean, and your children are around all the time, and now they get to see how all this is happening. Anything else that you'd like to say, Lam?
Well, then also, for the people to connect with our process, and also for us to connect with the people that we do the work for. So that is one of the fun process of it.
Yes, human connection. Now, the finding the barn, I guess we could quickly say the address itself is 89120, 89120 Lewis and Clark Road. And it's from 3 to 7 on Saturday. Do you want to give people a quick direction kind of hint here? Or?
Sure. Once you're coming from Astoria, you go out toward the feed store and go through the milepost crossing. About 5 miles out of that, there's a detour sign there now. Take that detour sign to the right, and then a quick left that will continue you on Lewis and Clark Road, and for about another 3 miles down, and the road will narrow and starting to go downhill, and that's where a house is.
Okay, and there'll be a sign that says Hi Hi Studios. I love the name Hi Hi. That's so great, the story. Well, thank you both so much for being here in Astoria, for encouraging other artists to come, for encouraging people to connect with the process of making art, and for just all the good things you do for our community. I'm really excited about seeing the new lights at Clemente's, too. And Saturday, 3 to 7 p.m., Hi Hi Barn Studio and Showroom opening in the Lewis and Clark area. Thank you both so much for being here, and thank you all. You've been incredibly patient. Your children are incredible, so they're well-behaved. They're sitting right here quietly.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Terry, our engineer extraordinaire, Terry Wilson, thank you for all you do, and my gratitude to local banjo player and instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. Focus on the things that are going well in your life and being grateful for those things. There will always be things which don't go well. However, there are things that are going well. And if we can be grateful for that, if we can remember to breathe, we all hold our breaths far too often, and then we're stressed. So take a deep breath and be grateful for just being in this moment. The only moment that we have on earth is the moment we're living in now. And then give yourself a loving hug or a compassionate, you know, pat on the back just for being you, for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.